Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can stream us on the Odyssey app. You can also listen on demand right there on the Odyssey app. You can also stream us on the TuneIn Radio app as well as the iHeart Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
How are we all doing today? That is the real question as we have.
Oh, we'll find out if anything ends up coming through down the pike.
Yeah, I guess the entire world, just as he wants it, is waiting on Lane Kiffin. My company is each and every Friday on the program. He is the Memphis Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. He's the host of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Episodes available each and every weekday. Follow him on the Everything app at DeMichael C. DeMichael Cole. Good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. Happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday to all. All right, let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. We'll start with our usual. What are we going to be talking about on Monday? And really, that will also include what happened on Thursday, because I think vibes were definitely better after yesterday. So we'll talk about that. We'll also, as mentioned, discuss maybe some Lane Kiffin watch. We got Shador's first real start coming up. We've got another slate of college football watch. I would argue the spiritual successor of SoCon Saturday. Like, we don't have a ton of SEC games, but we still got some good games throughout the country. We have an okay NFL slate. There's a couple that at least hold your attention. Mm-hmm. Then we will have Blake Topmeyer during the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on Kiffin Watch as well as everything else happening in the world of college football. We'll get into the list. We'll rank our games of the weekend. We'll tell your story. And then we will get out of here. But I think let's start with the basketball from last night. And so I think it's kind of interesting because both teams had tests last night, but they were on the like polar opposite ends.
Yeah.
Grizzlies had the test of like, if you can lose to the Kings, this is horrible.
This is it.
Correct.
Let's start, you know, getting the mock drafts ready.
Correct. Like, this is like, if you're, like, there is the argument that is the only team in the league. I guess you could throw maybe the Mavericks in there that currently have worse vibes, although it feels like the Mavs have had the Nico firing bump.
Yeah, probably the Pelicans.
That's fair. The Pelicans feel more rudderless, I feel like, than like pure bad vibes. But yes, I mean, the Pelicans have already fired their coach. Yeah. So I think you're right on that. And then on the other end, with the Tigers, it was the, well, what are they going to look like? After Sunday, in which maybe one of the worst efforts that we've seen in the last couple of years, although I think people are pretty quick to forget the Arkansas State effort last year. Those games smelled a lot alike.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were the same script, but they certainly rhymed. But we got two teams that had two good efforts. And let's talk first about the game that you were at.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the one hand, it's not like I want to sit here and come beat the drum and act like beating the Kings is some type of achievement.
Right.
But on the other end, it was like, that felt like it was nice to see.
Yeah. You don't beat a Debbie Downer after this one.
No,
just
it's
take,
like.
You take what you can get. You just take what you can get right now and you move forward. Now, I'm with you. You don't use this game as some big declaration.
Like proof of concept. This is not like, oh, see, the system works. Yeah. Like, no. It was fun. I'm happy that everybody went down, got to see, actually see, like, a fun night of basketball.
Exactly. There was a fan who mentioned me on X, and this will be an example to what we're
talking
about.
Oh, way to rub it in. Everybody seems to be rubbing in. They still have their X account.
Man, come on, we got to get that worked out, man.
This might be the weekend where I just decide.
Yeah.
I'm just, all right, here comes account.
I'll give you a shout out, you know.
It's not even that.
Absolutely.
Everybody go follow different.
It's like I just want my old one back. Like, you know, it's like it was taken from me.
Yeah.
Tough. All right, back to your actual point.
Here's where I stand on this whole thing, because I was on X and a fan said, DeMichael, Gigi is still not playing a lot. And I said, look, I get it, but just enjoy tonight. It's just, look, you have not had one of these. You've lost 8 of 9 games. It's a bad Kings team. You don't use this game to say, oh, yeah, Zach Edey is the difference maker, or see, Vince Williams can be the point guard of the future, or anything like that. You just, this team, like Isolo said after the game, no team deserved this win more. That's how he felt. And with everything that they've went through as of late, they really did deserve, like, some good vibes. So you got that now, and you press forward. Now when you get to, because for me, even if you beat the Mavs, it's like, Same
right.
thing.
You've already beaten them. Like, yeah,
same thing. But after that, you get the Nuggets at home. Then we can get to talking.
I think the other thing, though, is not to go super big picture, but to me, it's like that is a third consecutive game that I thought they looked better.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, so, and obviously, a lot of that is Edey. Edey being on the defensive end, like, they can occasionally get a stop now.
Yeah. It's Edey. It's the fact that you insert Vince Williams for Ja Morant, so you get this big surplus of defense around the perimeter where you have Vince Williams, Cedric Coward, and Jalen Wells. This is what the Grizzlies have wanted to be in a lesser degree with Ja on the floor, but they've wanted to be one of those teams like Boston, like OKC, where it's like you can't pick out someone on the floor and say, we're going to go at him until we force you to take him out of the game.
My favorite, the where's my bitch offense.
Yeah. That's it. That's what it is.
Oh yeah,
that's what it is. And you can't do that to them. You can't do that. Now it's a give and a take both ways, right? Because the Grizzlies can't score.
Yeah,
and you can score against the Kings. Jeffrey, we might go be able to get a few points.
I think we're certainly going to get a couple looks because
we'll get some good looks for sure.
That was a lot of standing around.
Those dudes are checked out.
I hate it for Doug Christie. He's also a Pepperdine alum.
He is a Pepperdine alum.
He is.
Yep.
But I think he's cashing
and
a
he's
check.
And he's a Kings.
And he's a former alum. Like a Kings alum. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's tough. But, I mean, to your point, I think that's kind of the more fascinating aspect of this for me is what is kind of the right mix
of
in terms of what do you prioritize? Because – right now, like what I think would actually be interesting is if the Grizzlies had one of four healthy point guards, would Vince still be in the starting lineup and Jalen wouldn't?
You're getting spicy.
Oh yeah, no, I've been on.
You're getting spicy.
I did this with Hurd on Wednesday. I was like, I think people were yelling for the wrong person to be out of the starting lineup.
I'm gonna play around with that one because I'm gonna say no initially, but everything that Tomas Isolo talks about that he wants Jalen to be as the starting guard is what Vince Williams is.
Well,
if we're just getting into it, he talks about, you remember Summer League, they put the ball in Jalen Wells' hands. We want him to be this secondary playmaker. If you look at the shooting, like Jalen Wells hasn't shot it great. He shot it better as of late. Last 3-4 games, he's starting to shoot the ball better. And Vince Williams, same thing. But the secondary playmaking in particular, like Vince Williams has that. He is that. And you're trying to get Jalen there. So I'm willing to listen to you on that, but I don't think he'll do it.
And again, the problem is they're so shorthanded and who, you know what I mean? Like, but My big deal is I felt like it was important for Vince to have, like, Islo's never seen good Vince.
No, nope.
Like, because, you know, he doesn't come till last year, and last year was such a lost year for Vince, and Vince was hurt in camp and really hurt to start the season. And
we saw it. He didn't trust him. You remember the playoff series?
Oh, he would put him in for like 3 minutes and then yank him. Yeah. And to be clear, like, I didn't think he was being wrong like that point. Like,
that was the Vince he was.
It was just it was a lost year for Vince.
Yeah.
But it does strike me as Vince to me has like a higher ceiling right now as a defender. I don't know about long term, but it does feel like with his strength and length, it feels like he kind of has he has more variety, I feel like, than the guys that he can guard.
That's the word. Because higher ceiling to me, I think.
Maybe Jalen overall.
What I'm hearing you allude to is the point that with Vince Williams, what you really don't get from Jalen is the playmaker defensively.
Yeah.
He's going to get steals. He's going to get deflections. This is something that coming into the season, Jalen talked about working on and being better at. But with Jalen, you just get more of like the sound, I'm going to guard my man. But when you look at the stat sheet, you're going to see zero steals, zero blocks, probably a couple deflections, if that. You look at Vince's stat sheet, it's going to be a couple steals in there, maybe a block, about 5 or 6 deflections.
And rebounds too.
Yeah.
And he rebounds great for his position.
And he's going to rebound. Yeah. So completely different defenders from the standpoint of, like, I remember when I was talking to some of the coaches about Jamai Meshack. And Rob down at the Hustle head coach, he was basically saying, you know, everyone looks at Jamai as this guy who's just going to be this terrific on-ball defender. Like, no, we love him just as much off the ball, and we think of him like a cornerback because of his coverage ability. And I think Vince Williams, in a similar way, gives you that. Jalen, you don't see Jalen jump into passing lanes and like you do with Vince.
Well, and to your point, that could also be deployment. Like, you know what I mean? In fairness, it's like, I don't really know what the coverage is, the scheme. The way that Jalen defends might allow for Vince to be active. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes there was always the argument of, did Mark really deserve defensive player of the year?
Yeah.
You know, because, I would still contend yes, but, there is the argument, but I would argue, it's like, well, collectively, all those guys defended as a unit. It's like,
I don't want to say biased, but I've always just been more thoughtful for the guards and the wings because their jobs are a little bit harder to me. But yeah.
Well, especially on this team because, like, they don't really have a ton of perimeter defense. Like, these are the guys that, like, you really need. And
this is a big emphasis coming into the season.
All right, anything else from last night that you thought worthy of mentioning from the actual Grizzlies game?
I think that's pretty much the most of it. I mean, shout out to Jamai Meshack getting his first.
Yep. First points.
First points. I thought that was a cool thing. They got the game ball for him. You know, it's just always cool seeing, you know, these guys kind of live out their dreams. And, I mean, he had a weird route to it, you know?
He didn't
have an NBA contract a week ago.
And, like, that was all just because if they would have put him on summer league. Mm-hmm. If they put him on – was it the actual training camp roster?
Yeah, they would have had to waive him.
They would have had to waive him, and they're like, "Well, no, we want him. We believe in him. We drafted him." So, but yes, glad to see that as well.
And his paycheck gets a little bigger now.
Yeah, no, that's
you know, that G League contract, little boy. So,
ooh boy, riding the bus. All right, then let's go to the earlier game. So, am I alone in just? Man, is it nice to just fire up the TV and just see basketball being played in like one of those ballrooms in the Caribbean.
I love the vibes.
Like, it's just awesome.
I love it.
My wife was like, "Who goes to these?" And I was like, "Well, I can't tell if it's a lot of people."
Yeah.
Because it might just be like 4 rows of seats.
Yeah.
And so it looks full, but it's not. Like, it's like, I don't know if there's, I had no idea if there were like 1,500 people in there or if there were like 300 people in there.
My guy Jason Munns gets to go experience this, and I wish I can too, because like the closest that I get to it is when we go to summer league and they practice in these, and it's like, it's so cool. Like, I'm always just taking my camera, just videoing the whole thing, and you got like the carpets down on the side, and Like,
it's just, there's nothing better.
No.
Like, it feels right. And, like, you sit there and you go, like, if a guy throws it from half court, is it going to hit the ceiling?
Like, is it going to hit the
yeah. Yeah. Like, like, last night we even had that, kind of, not quite half court, but the bank shot.
It's like you can just eat dinner in there after the game. Like, all right, everybody get ready for dinner.
Well, and it's like also, it's like you can just, like, you know how one of those things smells. Like, you can look and see through. It's like we've all, like, seen those ballrooms before, and it's like, it just smells like Sodexo food. Like, that's like, it's just craft service, like Cisco, Sodexo. Like, it's all, like, pre-made. Like, you know what those places smell like. But I did think, weirdly, last night was not a surprise to me.
Me either. I was texting you.
The fact that I actually was considering, were they going to win the game in the second half, was a little bit of a surprise to me.
That part, yep.
But the fact that they showed up and played did not surprise me. But that's where I start to wonder, like, is that an issue? Because yet again,
real Memphis Tigers stand up?
Well, it's like we fall into this trap of, like, UNLV, they're not going to care, take UNLV. Purdue, they're going to show up because the name on the jersey matters to them, and they did show up. Now, the things that cost them late, I thought shot selection the last 5 minutes was horrific.
Purdue just got closers, too. Like, it was no way.
There was one of the teams was the number one team, and you could tell.
They got three starters last couple years. That's just so rare now.
We've been talking about this over on KenPom. If you look at continuity, so not just experience, returning experience on Purdue.
Yep.
They're eighth in the country, and it's like the seven teams in front of them are like three service academies, two Ivy Leagues, and two MAC teams.
Yeah, hurts you to transfer out of those places.
Right. Like, well, it's like either places that doesn't take transfers or places that after basically your second year, you can't transfer anyway.
Yep.
Like, you're committed by the Constitution to stay there. So, you know, but, like, in a weird way, I thought it was somewhat reassuring in the sense of, okay, if you had this visions of, could this team be horrific? I thought that was an overreaction. And to me, like, it was reassuring to see, okay, I think last night proved that's an overreaction. But you can also turn back to, is this going to be something that hurts them? Because there's going to be a lot of games against teams that they're not going to respect on the front of the jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be the theme, right? And I think as you get through this first month and a half, like, if this becomes a consistent thing, because I think to your point, this is more of a theme over Penny's tenure than just with this team. And this is a completely different roster. But, yeah, like, you look at, you know, the AAC this year, if you sleepwalk into some of those games, you ain't making the tourney.
Win.
You ain't making the tourney. Not this year. So,
I mean, the only, I guess, flip side is they might be so talented compared to the rest of the league.
I mean, are they?
I don't know. I haven't seen enough of the rest of the league. I know South Florida, at least on paper, is good. I have no idea. But, I mean, in terms of financially, I'd be curious to know if Memphis spent more on their roster than the rest of the league combined.
I mean, yeah, but
I mean, we've also seen this in the years past.
It wasn't Aaron Bradshaw was projected to be one of the top, you know, players in the conference, and that still could play out. But have we seen that yet?
No. I mean, he gave a better effort last night, but, like, I was telling Jeff this morning, like,
need more.
I thought he cost him last night.
You need more from him.
Well, it's not even like I'm setting aside the production aspect of it.
Okay. The mental?
I thought the tech, like, that was so stupid.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, yeah, that was the ultimate, like, Draymond fake tough guy stuff. And it's like, he gets teed up, and I felt like that, like, flipped the game back to Purdue.
The momentum.
Did they ever regain the lead after that?
I don't think so. That was about seven minutes.
Yeah, because felt like it's like Purdue got hit the free throws and then got possession and scored. And it's like, well, and, like, they didn't give up.
Right.
Like, I still didn't love late game execution. Like, I thought there was a lot of get a quick two out there, but they just kept jacking threes. And it's like, all right, well, that's that. But then I also started thinking, like, maybe this is overthinking it. And that really it was just this simple.
Okay.
On Sunday, Doug went 1-for-10.
Right.
With 8 turnovers. I think it was 6 points, 8 turnovers, 1-for-10 from the floor. Last night, what, Doug finishes with 18 points. I think he only had one turnover.
Yeah, he was hooping.
And it's like, maybe it's as simple as that. So he finished with 6 assists, one turnover,
cramps a little bit, left,
6 boards. And he wasn't even like, it wasn't like he was awesome shooting. He was just 6 of 11 from the field. But it's like, maybe it's just as simple as that. Like, if Doug is going to play, like, they're going to go as Doug goes. If Doug's good, they'll look fine.
Some real Kendrick Davis.
If Doug looks bad, yeah.
Some Kendrick Davis vibes, huh?
Like, oftentimes, you did not have to wonder how the Tigers did. You could just go on the stat sheet and say, like, all right, give me Kendrick.
Yep.
And that's usually...
That's going to tell you.
You could kind of picture
indicator.
How the game
yep.
went.
Yep.
Anything else that you saw? No, I know you're getting ready to cover the game, too.
Yeah, I just think when you think about this team and the way that they're trending, it's looking very much like you just said. It's going to be a team that is going to have to be defensive-minded, and they're going to need a couple scores, of course. Doug and someone else is going to – I think Aaron Bradshaw, like, the potential – this is a former 5-star recruit. He's a big – he has all the natural stuff, can put it on the floor, can really shoot the basketball. He's got to be one of those guys to me. And then they need one more. You need one more. I need to feel like you've got three players on this team who can consistently give you at least 12 points.
I know he's kind of like the internet or the online fan base's, like, guy.
Uh-huh.
But I still – I find myself intrigued by Majok.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he
doesn't know what he's mm-hmm. doing, but he is doing stuff.
He's making an impact.
Right. Like, even last night, even if he was out of position, I felt like he was still making something happen.
Yeah.
Like, he was active, and it's like, if they can figure out some way to, like, make it more a part of, like, whatever the structure they're trying to operate
uh-huh.
under.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of in on that
mm.
because I think he does things that are really hard to teach because he moves pretty – like normally when we see the
yeah.
big like guy yeah. from Africa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's not like a ton of coordination. He's got some coordination
yeah,
to
no,
him.
No, no, no. He got skill.
Like in
– skill, yeah.
I don't know. Like I – it's like I wish there could be like a crash course of basketball because like I think if they could – or like, you know – simplifying the playbook, whatever our football terms of like,
yeah.
where normally you would just tell like the guy that's like your best cover guy, like, mm-hmm. all right, just go play man.
Yep.
Like, and play man and then tell me their inside or outside technique and yep. just like, just stay with him. The problem is, I don't know what the big man equivalent of that is because there's not, you know what I mean?
Uh huh.
But I do find myself drawn to him.
Yeah. He's definitely, like you said, a fan favorite. And, you know, it's funny what Penny said to him, you know, well, about him, excuse me, a couple days ago, basically saying that he wasn't someone that, he really planned on
no.
building around, but it's trending that way. So
I do think there's, like,
yeah,
there's something kind of undeniable about it. It's like you can't really process or pinpoint exactly what it is, but it's like when you're mm-hmm. watching the game, you're like, stuff happens around him.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, this stretch here coming up and where you get these – days in between these games after you get done here, you know, it's going to be a good chance for this team to kind of find its identity before they get into conference play.
All right, so then we have to establish this.
Uh-huh.
Will Wake Forest count as a big enough opponent to get them to try?
It's a combination of things. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Because Wake Forest is right on the fence as a brand name. It's like to me, this is like where you get half the guys who are really like – college basketball guys, they're going to get up, but then you got to convince maybe the freshmen, like, hey, this is a good team. They got some players over there. Like, that type of game. But
I feel
considering
like if
the record.
I feel like if you're 30, it's
yeah.
easy to convince. And obviously from Memphis, like, we have Robert or Kelly. Like, we have experience. But it's like,
yeah,
if you watched Chris Paul play college.
You got to go back a little bit.
You had to go back. You had respect. But it's like, how many of these guys have, like, how many guys do they have under the age of 22?
Yeah.
Like, I am, I'm slightly worried.
You don't think any of these guys watch Jake LaRavia?
I don't. They were more hipster. They were more Indiana.
First round pick?
They were more Indiana State Jake LaRavia.
Okay,
like, they were in on the ground floor.
Yeah.
When's the last time Wake's made the tournament?
Ooh.
Because Forbes has never made it, right? Like, I feel like that's the – I feel like you can set your watch to it every single year.
You know, when Jake LaRavia was there, they were really good that year. Okay, that was 21-22. They went 25-10, but they didn't.
They last made the tournament in 2017.
Man.
It's been 8 years.
2017.
And I don't even think that was Forbes, was it?
No, that's Danny Manning, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And
yeah, that Forbes was hired in 20.
Did that team win the tournament?
Oh, they were first four in 2017.
Okay.
They were just first four. But yeah, again, they were 19-14 that year, but the Jake LaRavia team, but the ACC was down at that point. They were 25.
Yeah, I think that was one of those years the ACC got like three teams.
Yeah. They were 25-10 and didn't get in.
Because like my bigger issue is I think it should count, but it's like I don't know. Because like I could make an argument like UNLV should have counted, but it clearly didn't.
Yeah. You better hope it don't count.
I mean, yeah, not. But then it's like almost like then I start to like wonder if we're making it too simple. And really what it was Doug just played awful.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, to put one game entirely on one player is sometimes disingenuous, but it does feel like this is going to be a pretty simple year. Like, yeah. Go look and see how Doug played.
He's got to be special, man. He's got to be special. But I think they get up for this one. I mean, you're 1-3, and people were trying to pat them on the back a little bit after that loss, and Penny wasn't going for it. We're not doing the moral victories.
No, yeah, and I think he is handling it the right way.
Yeah.
I do think it was good for the fan base to sit there and go.
Yeah. You needed to know that you could still feel like you could put your money into this team.
Correct. Like, and Penny should not have them rest on a loss.
Right.
Like, all right, you covered.
Yeah.
But I do think it was important after the last thing you saw was a double-digit game against UNLV where you were never in the basketball game.
Or you were looking like you were going to not be that team.
Correct.
Like Penny said this is one of his more talented teams. That didn't look like
that. That looked like a disaster.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about a big weekend of college football. We'll also discuss with Blake Topmeyer all the Lane Kiffin drama saga, what his thoughts on all this are. We'll do it next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Blake!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tom Myers, the USA Today Sports Network, senior college football columnist. his podcast, SEC Football Unfiltered, available each and every week wherever you get your podcasts. Follow him on the Everything app at B Topmeyer. All right, Blake, have you ever seen anything like what we're watching with Lane Kiffin right now?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this would be the first time a coach of a playoff-bound team vamooses for a conference rival with a team that could be hosting a first-round playoff game. We've not seen this. You know, with Brian Kelly, his team still had an outside chance. Notre Dame did that year.
They just always had the Cincinnati problem. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they were quote unquote alive, but it's like they had a head to head loss at home, and you knew, like, it was going to be really difficult for them to get in.
Yeah, right. And that's always what, Brian Kelly was the first to bring that up because he didn't want the narrative of being the guy that quit on a playoff team. And I don't think he did. I mean, there was outside hope for them, but, you know, history will say he did not quit on a playoff team. Lane, if he leaves, he would be quitting on a playoff team and becoming, you know, the first coach to do that. And yet, in a way, it was always going to be Lane, wasn't it? Right? I mean, this seems like,
I mean, if we were coming up with this coming, if we were fantasy booking this and we were in a writer's room, he would have had to be one of our five candidates.
Absolutely. It was either this to me or like a group of five coach doing it. Where it's like, hey guys, I'm getting called up to the big time. And I think then the group of five coach probably lets that guy coach in the first round if he wants to, because it's not.
Heck, we might We might see two this cycle.
Wouldn't it be something if Ole Miss plays Tulane? Not out of the realm of possibility. Ole Miss moves up to the five seed line, Tulane's 12, and they're both playing with either lame duck coaches or interim coaches. I mean, yeah, that's a real possibility. So, yeah, I mean, it was either going to be Lane or a G5 coach, and here we are. It's looking like maybe it's Lane.
I guess that's kind of the question that I've wrestled with, which is obviously the Ole Miss fan base is going through it, and they go through it like every fan base does when this type of thing is happening. But I've started to wonder, is Lane the culprit here, or is the calendar?
Well, I mean, you could blame the calendar, but it still takes a certain type of individual probably to go through with this. I think there are a lot of the majority of P5 coaches, the calendar being what it is, I don't think they would walk away from teams that could be seated, you know, five or six and hosting a first round playoff game. They might grumble about the calendar. They might wish it was different so they could take another job, but they'd say, hey, I can't leave a team that has a chance to win national championship. I got to ride this thing out. So, yeah, I mean, I think the calendar is not ideal, but I also don't really see obvious ways to change it. I just don't, and
if they're still going to honor the academic calendar, no, I don't. I think you're right. I mean,
right.
Like, if we're still going to pretend like this is an academic thing, then no.
Right, and the other thing is too, you know, it's easier in a league like the NFL. To prevent stuff like this from happening. But in college football, where there is no, league commissioner, everybody doesn't really belong to the same body. There's no collective bargaining agreement. It's, it's really anything goes. I mean, the only way to prevent something like this would be to put a non-compete in contracts. And so to me, more than the calendar at blame, if you're looking for another culprit aside from Lane Kiffin here, the culprit is Ole Miss for not putting a non-compete in his contract. Now, the counter argument to that is, do you retain Lane Kiffin last time around with a non-compete in his deal? And I get that. But the flip side of not having a non-compete in there is your coach could be leaving a playoff team. And Ole Miss would not be the first school to have something in its contract saying you can't leave for a conference rival without, substantial personal penalty. So, Ole Miss, to my knowledge, doesn't have that.
They don't have a pure non-compete like you have. My understanding is they have a clause in there that says if you are found to be pursuing another job, they have the right to reassign you, suspend him with pay. Like, basically, that's kind of where when people wanted to know, like, what is the basis for their threat, there is a clause in there that basically says if you're found to have been soliciting another job, they can, like, reassign you or they can, like, pause you.
Right. So they have something to prevent him from coaching in the playoff, theoretically. They don't have anything to bind him to that school and prevent him from leaving for LSU, which is what I'm saying. Like, they could have more specifically in the contract of, you know, you cannot leave for a conference rival without paying a $30 million penalty to the school, you know. They don't have that. Other schools have you know, have had non-compete language like that in their contract, and Ole Miss doesn't. So, I mean, I get it. Like, it's hard to retain a coach like Lane with language like that in your contract. But if you're looking for another culprit other than Lane, that's probably it. I mean, the calendar, that makes for a good argument. But again, I think there's a lot of coaches that might quietly grumble about the calendar and say, oh, boy, I wish I could take this opportunity. But they just personally feel like they couldn't walk away from a playoff team, whereas Lane, for better or worse, otherwise, and I think sometimes it is for better, sometimes it is for worse, he's a wild card that does not that marches to the beat of his own drum.
Well, I think this is the other question that I had. It would not shock me if Lane's the first. I wonder, though, in this era, like, is Lane just going to be the first case? Like, it does seem like this is something that could realistically happen more frequently.
No, I agree. And that will be Lane's story in the long term that he will tell over and over.
You think?
Yeah, I do think. We all think. We all know, right? Is that he was the revolutionary and that everybody wanted to do this. And he was the pioneer that made it happen. And it'll become the hero's tale. And not the tale of a renegade, you know, quitting on his playoff team.
Rosa Parks Kiffin.
Yeah. But I think you're right. Like, he'll be the first. He won't be the last. And everybody else will use him as permission to do something like this. Now, I do think there's a lot of coaches, though, that still would say, hey, if I got a team that can go to the playoff, do I need to leave for the other job? And that's the thing that's still wrapped up in all this to me, is not only would he be leaving a playoff team, but, you know, for what? I think LSU and maybe Florida to a lesser extent in a vacuum probably have higher long-term ceilings than Ole Miss in a vacuum. But here in the moment, there's only going to be one of those three teams in the playoff, only one of those three teams with a chance at the national championship. And so if that is your goal, and maybe it's not for Lane, maybe he doesn't care about winning national championships, but if your goal is to win the national title, you're walking away from a team that has a chance to do it this year for, like, in a theoretical sense, a program that has a chance to do it more often, more frequently. Here's what I think happened. Like, I think all along Lane has thought he could take another job and coach Ole Miss in the playoff. He wants, I think if you ask him and got him to be truthful about it, he probably is just not going to answer the question publicly. He's not going to lie. But if you got him to answer the question, I think Lane would say, yeah, even if I left, I want to coach in the playoff. And I think perhaps naively, he went into this process thinking that that was possible. And now I'm not saying it's impossible because maybe Ole Miss caves, but it's starting to look like that is probably not going to happen. I don't think Lane necessarily felt that way going into it. I think he probably privately believed he could take another job, or, like, wink, wink, take another job, maybe not put pen to paper yet, but it was done, and still coach his old team in the playoff. And it's not working out that way for him. And I think, many of us probably would have said at the front end, yeah, it's not going to go that smoothly. It'd be different if he was leaving for the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think to a certain degree, it might even be different if he was leaving for a job outside the conference. I still think there would be some problems there, but because in this case, they're conference rivals, that makes it particularly difficult.
Well, I mean, it's even to your point, it's like, listen, I don't know if in 4 years when we reevaluate our annual opponents or whatever we called them. I mean, Ole Miss and LSU are likely to play every single year. And like that is, but I'll expand on your point. I don't know this to be true, but I believe this to be true. I think part of Lane's reaction on Saturday from the tweeting at the fan base to his post game, I think a lot of that was Lane lashing out because I believe on Friday, whether it be Jimmy Sexton, whoever at CAA, I believe that they got it through to him. If you think you can have your cake and eat it too, of take the other job and coach the playoff, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, whoever it was, I think it has dawned on him that yeah. it is becoming far less likely than he maybe thought possible on the front end of it. And then, and that may increase the chance of him staying. I don't know what number we put it at as him staying. I think it's more likely he goes than he stays, but it's a non-zero chance, I believe, that he stays. I mean, heck, we saw this last time with Auburn. Like, until he puts pen to paper with the new school, there's a chance he stays, right? So it's a non-zero chance that he stays. I think it increases the chance that he stays that Ole Miss is kind of putting his feet to the fire here. If Ole Miss gave him the option to take another job and coach in the playoff, that would decrease the chance of him staying. And so while I can question Ole Miss following through with this, particularly because Lane is the play caller, and so the logic of
– Only on the plays that work.
Only on the plays that work. He's not as bad as Hugh, though.
No. He doesn't throw – he has mind-warped his fan base into he calls the plays that worked. Although, they're starting to get frustrated with every time he brings in Austin Simmons in the red zone.
As they should. That yeah. doesn't make a ton of sense.
I would maybe give the ball to number 5. That guy seems like he can carry the mail.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But that's the whole thing. You know, if we look at the other side of this from Ole Miss, I do think on the front end – there's some value in putting some pressure on Lane here and say, you're not going to be able to have your cake and eat it too. But if he calls their bluff and says, oh, I bet you do let me coach in the playoff, then it'll be interesting to see what Ole Miss does. Because I could make the argument that if you're trying to pursue the national championship here, and if you're trying to do right by your players, there is an argument that you would be better off swallowing your pride and letting Lane coach in the playoff, even though you hate it. Even though you really don't want to do it, you say, okay, we got beat. We tried to put the pressure on him to keep him here. It didn't work. We're going to let him coach. Will Ole Miss do that? I'm skeptical that they will do that. But I think there's an argument that is actually the proper play if you're doing right by your players and you're giving yourself the best chance to win a national title. I don't know, because I don't know what type of lame duck coach would show up there. Is Lane going to still be motivated to go out and win? And win a national championship? I don't know. You're taking a gamble there, either direction. But boy, I don't love what you're doing to your team, throwing an interim coach out there in a playoff scenario.
Yeah, and then I think the other aspect of that is, do you really want the coach around with everybody being a free agent? I mean, you know what I mean? Like he's gonna. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he's gonna take the whole roster, but he'll take the ones he wants, or at least try to. Do you really want to
steal your players whether you boot him out? Correct. The door
I think that's fair, but wouldn't you rather? I'd rather him do it from a distance rather than being in their ear every single day.
That's probably true. Don't let the fox in the house make the fox bust its way in. It's just a bad situation for Ole Miss. And I feel for him. I do, and maybe he stays. You know, like I said, until he puts pen to paper and the ink's dry. Maybe he stays. I said a couple weeks ago, 60-40, he goes. I said it was harder at that time to say which one he would land at. Now I think it's probably higher than 60-40 he goes. It's not 100-0, but I think it's higher than 60-40 that he goes. And I think it's probably more likely that he winds up at LSU than Florida. But again, knowing who we're dealing with here, anything's on the table until it's not.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, because I get asked pretty frequently. It's like, well, the guy that I used to work for is, you know, he's pretty convinced he's leaving. At the same time, he doesn't have the report out that Lane Kiffin's leaving. And
right.
That's for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, and he covers him every single day. I kind of have always thought the longer it goes on, the better it is for Ole Miss. But now it just almost like you wonder, like, have you just reached the point where it's not tenable? Like, you know, I've
wondered that too. Like, does this drag on to the point where you almost encourage him to take another job? I don't think it's at that point yet. Because I think as frustrated as Ole Miss fans might be to have this nonsense going on, I think if Lane Kiffin announced tomorrow, I'm staying, let's ride. Like, I mean, that fan base would be all back in on him. And they might say, like, please don't do this to us again. And we have our feelings a little bit hurt. But, no, they'd say let's ride and let's go win some playoff games. So, but I do think there's a point where it's like, man, you've dragged this out too long. Like, you need to take one of these other jobs because you've kind of burned some bridges here. I don't think it's at that point yet. But I do think it could get to that point. I don't think we're there yet.
I think you're right in the sense of if he said today, tomorrow, Monday, you know, I'm the Wolf of Wall Street, like I'm never leaving. If he does the Leo thing, I'm with you. What happens if you tell them, hey, man, you're going to have to wait a couple weeks and we don't know? That's where I think it starts. That's the problem. You see?
Yeah. I think at that point you say you need to take one of these other ones here. Like he's got maybe like a week left where he could do the Wolf of Wall Street and everybody would be like, he's back. He's ours. The other thing I've raised, and I raised this on our podcast this week, and I really am not trying to, I have no dog in the fight here. I don't personally care what Lane does. But if you're coming up with arguments to stay, one of them could be that these are not the last good jobs that are going to open. These are not the last jobs that I think could appeal to Lane in the future. So there is somewhere in between making a lifetime commitment to Ole Miss and retiring from Ole Miss 15 years from now and then leaving in the midst of a playoff run. Like, if Lane stays at Ole Miss now and his team regresses next year, you know, to 8-4, 9-3, which is definitely possible, there are going to be more good jobs open next cycle. I don't know what they're going to be, but he's still going to have a hot stock. You know, just because let's say he goes 8-4 next year, people are not going to be disinterested in Lane Kiffin just because he went 8-4. He's going to be 1 year removed from a playoff run with Ole Miss. He's still going to be a hot item, you know, and we don't know what's going to open. Maybe it's Texas. Maybe it's Bama. Maybe it's Michigan. Point being, there's going to be good jobs open in nearly every cycle. So this is not the last chance for him to leave if he were to stay. But I also know, you know, if he thinks he's kind of, if he's done with Ole Miss and he's wanting to scratch that itch to start afresh somewhere else, it's probably hard to sell to himself, like, wait another year, see where his team is a year from now and see what else is open. I know that's probably a hard sell, but for certain guys, that's what they do. They'd say, no, my stock's still going to be hot from a year from now. My team might not be in the playoff then, and I'll see what I can get at that point.
I think the question, though, is, are these the last best jobs he can get? So, like, whether or not you believe it, there's, you know, scuttlebutt that Lane Kiffin will never be the Alabama coach as long as Nick Saban's breathing.
Yeah.
Like, can Lane Kiffin get Ohio State? Could Lane Kiffin get Georgia? Could Lane Kiffin get Michigan? Like, I almost wonder, though, if LSU is, like, the best. Now, maybe it's possible that the entire rebrand has worked and everybody doesn't care. But, like, I mean, I would also tell LSU fans, like, this is the classic. Like, this is kind of where I didn't know how much sympathy to have for Ole Miss fans, where it's like, this is what you signed up for. Like, this is what Lane Kiffin does. And so, yes, you've had the whole ride where, ha, 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 he's trolling every other fan base. Look how funny it is. It's like, it was only a matter of time before he's going to start trolling you, too. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, to your point about, like, would other schools hire him, I would raise that we've all heard that same thing about Scott Strickland, right?
Sure.
He's never going to Florida because Scott Strickland wouldn't hire him. Well, at some point it comes down to, hey, Mr. AD, would you like to keep your job? Then we're telling you who you are and aren't hiring. So, yes, I think last time around, Lane Kiffin had zero chance in becoming Alabama's next coach. And I actually personally believe it had less to do with Nick Saban and more to do with Greg Byrne.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, and I don't think that's wrong. I'm not totally out on Kalen DeBoer. I think Greg Byrne has a good hiring track record. I'm really not dunking on Greg Byrne here. But my point is, if Greg Byrne's hire, which Kalen DeBoer was, goes up in smoke here in a year or two, I don't know that Greg Byrne's going to lose his job, but he might be told to keep your job. We're telling you who you're pursuing this time around, and you're going to learn to live with Lane Kiffin. Or, you know, that's just a hypothetical. But
no, I think it's more than fair to point out.
Yeah, yeah. The guys that once said, we're never hiring this guy, are then later told by the boosters, do you like your job? We'll tell you who you are and aren't going to hire.
Yeah, hey, Scott, do you want this 5-year extension? and the merit, like, and us give you money even after you're done coaching?
Yeah.
Or after you're done ADing?
Better.
Yeah. Well, I think the other aspect of this is interesting is I think if Ole Miss wins next week, I don't think it matters. I think they're 11-1. They get seeded, however. If they lose next week, I think it's not going to be great to have something against you as a 10-2 team.
I think if they lose next week, even if Lane Kiffin has signed a lifetime pledge to Ole Miss, they might be out. We just saw them drop Alabama 6 spots for losing by 2 points to Oklahoma, a team that the committee thinks is pretty good. And I know Alabama lost it at home. Ole Miss would be losing on the road, whatever. If Ole Miss loses to an unranked 5-6, is that what Mississippi State is?
They would be 5-6. Yeah, I think that's correct.
They'd be 5-6. If Ole Miss loses to 5-6 Mississippi State, I think it's very plausible for the committee to drop them 6 spots or thereabouts, regardless of whether they have an interim coach or Lane Kiffin. In a crowded bubble scenario, I'm not convinced 10-2 is going to get it done for Ole Miss, because what this committee is telling us, and look, the committee, they can say whatever they want. They can change their reasons week to week. We've seen them do this. But the one thing they're saying loudly is, we do not like bad losses. They lost to Mississippi State. I know it's a rivalry game. Doesn't matter. In a crowded bubble, that bad loss is not going to be great for Ole Miss's playoff bid. I agree with you that, you know, we've seen some panicians out there, to use the modern word, acting like Ole Miss is not going to be in the playoff at 11-1 if Lane's not their coach. Like, come on, I don't buy that for a second.
That's one I can't get down with.
Yeah, that is not going to fly. I mean, if that's the case, just burn the whole thing down. Shutter the sport. I don't buy that one for a second. But if they lose and Lane's not the coach, yeah, I think they could be out. If they lose and Lane is still the coach, I think they could be out. I think it hurts them more if he's not the coach, but I don't think Ole Miss is a lock at 10-2, even if Lane is still the coach. Now, if some other teams lose, then yeah, I think they're going to be fine at 10-2. But if Vanderbilt wins, if Texas gets to 9-3, if Southern Cal beats Oregon and you get 2 10-2 teams there, I'm just saying it could get pretty crowded. And a loss to Mississippi State as your final submission to the committee, boy, that's a tough one.
Well, it's that weird thing where I totally agree with you. It does seem like we're in the era of they're kind of dismissing your best win, but they're weighing your worst loss. Mm-hmm. And it's like, weirdly, even though Ole Miss beat Oklahoma, Oklahoma wouldn't be penalized because that wasn't necessarily a bad loss.
Right.
Like, it's almost like the fact that Oklahoma lost to Ole Miss, like, the head-to-head wouldn't really count, but it's the fact that, like, well, it was kind of close.
Right, and people are thinking, like, well, how could you keep 10-2 Ole Miss out and put 10-2 Oklahoma in when, well, the same way they can put Notre Dame in and keep Miami out, right? So, like, if you're sitting there thinking as an Ole Miss fan, like, oh, we'll be okay at 10-2 because you beat Oklahoma, like, not necessarily, because Oklahoma didn't lose to Mississippi State, and that's the same scenario as they're doing with Notre Dame and Miami, so they can do it to Ole Miss and Oklahoma. So, yeah, if Ole Miss wants to be in, they need to go out, beat Mississippi State, and at that point, I think they're going to be hosting a first-round game, even if Lane's not the coach. Maybe that's famous last words. Maybe the committee flexes and says, no, you don't get to host a home game because you have an interim coach. I don't know.
I think there's somebody in Birmingham that won't let that happen.
Yeah, I just don't buy that. If they're 11-1, no matter who the coach is, I think they're going to be hosting a first-round game. Do they drop a spot in the seeding? Are they 7 and not 6? Yeah, maybe. But I think they're hosting a first-round game. And everybody points to the Jordan Travis injury scenario of, well, the committee used something there. Yeah, they did, but it was the alternative was not putting in the SEC champion. And I don't necessarily agree with what the committee did that year, but this is apples and oranges scenario. And it was undeniable that Florida State, not having Jordan Travis and starting who they were starting at quarterback, I don't even remember the guy's
Brock
name.
Brock Glenn, he's from Memphis.
Yeah, he was the third stringer, right? He was the third stringer. That was undeniable that was going to impact Florida State. Whether you think Florida State should have been in or out, it was undeniable that not having Jordan Travis was going to hurt them. You don't know for sure that not having Lane Kiffin is going to hurt Ole Miss in the playoff. We could make that case, but we don't know for sure. You knew for sure not having Jordan Travis was going to impact Florida State. So I think those people making those comparisons, it's totally apples. It was a 4-team playoff then, and they had to choose between putting in a team, undefeated team with its third string quarterback, or putting in the 12-1 SEC champions. I just don't love that comparison.
No, I'm with you, because I do think a huge part of that story is we actually saw what Florida State looked like. We
right.
don't
and
really know what Ole Miss would look like. You know what I mean? It might be bad, but we don't know.
Exactly. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.